Come on. John chapter number 5. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen. Amen. All right, get your Bibles open. I know you're just avoiding preaching is what you're doing. Amen. God bless you. I love your spirit. Wonderful place. Amen. I love you. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Just stay standing. We'll read the Word of God. Amen. I love the spirit of this place. Love the happiness. Don't ever lose that. A lot of people try to quench it out of you. And you know what? Our love for Jesus supersedes any thing that the world has to offer. And I hope nobody mistakes anybody thinking that anybody is somebody. It's all about Jesus. Amen. He is everything. Without Jesus, we're nothing. Amen. He said he is the vine and we are the branches, and without him, ye are nothing. So I'll just tell you from the words of Jesus, you're a nobody. Amen. I'm a nobody, but we serve a somebody. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1, and let's read through verse number 8 if we can. Can you read with me in unison out loud? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the water. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Amen. I want to talk to you today just surrounding around the circumstances of the pool of Bethesda and just the very thought of verse 6 and verse 8. Jesus asked the question, Wilt thou be made whole? And then he gave a command, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Let's pray together, can we? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and grace that is abundant. Thank you that it's upon this place, it's upon your people, and Lord, we need you today to move in a mighty way. We need another stirring. We need another troubling of the water. God, would you move in our hearts today? God, would you make an eternal impact right in this place? Thank you for what you're doing amongst your people. Thank you for the guests that you brought here today. Lord, it's not taken lightly that you brought people from different places, and Lord, they're sitting here today. God, I pray that you'd use your word to impact us all. May thy Holy Spirit work in a mighty way. May we elevate Jesus Christ, lift you up. And Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
And have a seat. It amazes me in the Baptist church, a lot of times amen seems to mean sit down. But amen just means, preacher, I stand with you, so be it, and then we'll have a seat. Amen. John chapter 5, keep your Bibles open if you would. We're not done with the Word of God. If I have anything to say outside of the Word of God, it's really nothing as well. So we'll just keep the Bible open and look at that. I'm really thankful to be here at Hiles Anderson College. I'm glad that this was the school of choice for me to come and get our secondary education and so forth. You ask, who do you look up to? Who's your heroes? You're looking at them, the men on the platform. These are the kind of people I like to be around. I don't get to be with them every day, but these are my heroes. These are people I look to, people that's even on the back row, Phil Penn's back there, a Greek scholar. That's the kind of people that I look to. I just love the faculty here. I love the teachers. I love the people that play the instruments, the people that's just sort of sticking around here and making a difference in another generation. Thank God for Miss Warland. You don't know it, but she runs this place. We're just parroting what she's already told us to say. I'll give you her outline here in just a minute. But anyhow, I just love the people that make this place happen. I love the president of the college, Brother Douglas. He's somebody that's invested greatly in me. Brother Francis is one that would be on the cabinet of my council. I thank God. We're all looking to Jesus, though. He's the one that's made the difference in our life and the Word of God, and we're just trying to understand it and try to pass it along here to another generation. Thank God the enrollment at Hals Henderson College is up from last year, around 5%, and new enrollments, I think, the highest it's been in years. I look at that. I pray for that. I'm excited about what God is doing in this school. May there be more churches planted. May there be more disciples converted. May there be more bus routes started. Don't you love our pastor, the chancellor of our college? And he's looking to Jesus as well. And we're just excited about what God is doing. And I'm glad some of you are just jumping on board as well. Let's just get right into the text if we can. There was a pool here in Jerusalem, just by the sheep market, a pool, which is called Bethesda. The name Bethesda means house of mercy, a house of mercy. And I don't know of a greater need that we have in our day, that there would just be a place that would be a place to give mercy. Amen? If I look out of my spiritual gifts, I don't have very many, but I think mercy may be on the listing that God has given me. I need mercy. So if I need mercy, I need to sow a lot of mercy. How many of you need mercy? Would you raise your hands? Amen. Many of us do. But if we're not careful, we'll have a great need for mercy, but we'll not dispense out a lot of mercy. Mercy is not the absence of judgment. It's just a place that offers a great help of healing while judgment is being passed. I can't take away the truth of the Word of God. It is, but I'm glad that Jesus brought grace and truth. I'm glad that we can speak the truth in love. Mercy is the cushion that you get amongst the bumps in the road. It does not take the bumps out of the road, but it sure helps the bumps along the way. I'd rather travel through a bumpy road in the ghetto in a Cadillac than in a VW with no shocks. Can somebody say amen? I need some cushion along the way. This was a place of mercy. It was a place of mercy. It was the house of mercy. Now, I'm not really trying to start another church. I know there's the House of Hope in Chicago. I'm not trying to start another church of House of Mercy. One of our church members in South Hollis said, Pastor, you love people. Let's start a place called the Brandon's Temple of Love. I'm like, no, let's don't do that at all. Let's have a Bible preaching church. Amen. It seems like the longer the title to the church, the less they do. The longer to the title of the minister, the less they do. I just want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be. Amen. But this was a place of mercy. And verse 3 says that in this place lay a great multitude of impotent folk. It almost sounds like important, doesn't it? The truth of the matter is they are important, but they are weak. The biblical word for impotent is just they're weak. They're lacking of energy. They're sick. They're poor. They have needs. If you keep reading, you even see some of the needs. That is a description of the impotent folk. It says of blind. They can't see, if you will. In this place of mercy where weak people that have disease are sitting, some of the descriptions is they cannot see. Another description that's found here is that they're halt. That means perhaps they're crippled or a limb of theirs is not functioning properly. It says also that they're withered. That means dried up, even a lack of function in an arm or in a leg, that means there's no juice going to that thing. There's no blood flow, so it withers up or it shrinks up. They are literally depleted in this place of mercy. It's a place where they're poor. They cannot see. They cannot walk, and they are drained of energy. And all they can do is just wait for the promise of God. They're waiting for the moving of the water. Many of us serve in a similar capacity, going out to the poor, going out to places of need. Many of you have bus routes within this church. We have our bus director on the platform. You're in a place going to where they, in many places, cannot see. They cannot walk, or they cannot move, and they're lacking the physical energy to get up out of their situation. All they knew to do is just wait for another day. They're really just looking for hope. I found we named one of the churches Promise of Hope Baptist Church that was planted because it was told to us that the two most searched words on Google is promise and hope. People are looking for promise and they're looking for hope. And that is the case. There's really such a need. And I believe the answer is in our Savior Jesus Christ, don't you? See, we can help somebody with a physical ailment, but if they get help physically, they're still on their way to a place called hell if they don't understand that Jesus loved them, died on a cross for them, and rose again, and they can accept Him as their personal Savior. Thank God that you're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to places where hope is lacking, where there's a despair, where there's a depletion, and where there's a great need. They may be physically walking around like walking corpses, but yet there's a great spiritual depletion and a lack of the truth of the Word of God. I know where you're going. Everybody has a church and everybody's religious, but the truth of the matter is, most part, they're religious but lost. They're like Cornelius. They're praying and they're fasting, but they're without the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And without one of us or you or somebody taking Jesus to them, they're still going to be in a place of eternal desperation. But yet they're waiting for the moving of the water here. The answer in verse 4 says that an angel would come down to this water at a certain season and trouble the water. And the word troubled, similar to the word moving there, but it just means the angel stirred up the water and created a movement in the water. And at the time of this movement, if they could get to the water, and just the Bible says, if they could step in, amen? If they could just step in, that they could be healed of whatsoever disease there had. And so here, all of the needs are evident. There's a great multitude. And out of this great multitude, they can't see, they can't walk. They're withered or dried up, lacking of the ability to get themselves to the water. And they're just waiting for the promise of God. And if only at that point of when they're waiting, if they could just step in, they could be healed. You'd like to just say, come on, step in, the water's fine. You could get in, and many of you that know the truth of the gospel, you'd like to just say to the whole world, hey, just come on in, the water's fine. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The promise is there that God already loved the world and Jesus has already paid the payment, but all they've got to do is just come to Christ and believe on Him as their Savior and they could be saved. Step on in, the water's fine. And then verse 5 introduces us to one of the impotent men. One of the weak. I'm not sure if he couldn't see. I'm not sure if he couldn't walk. I'm not sure which limb was crippled or what part was withered up and not functioning or working. But I do know that the Bible says that he had an infirmity or a weakness or a sickness that had lasted a long, long time. 38 years this man was in his infirmity. How many people have been in struggles for so long? How many people are without Christ and just looking for hope and looking for promise, and they're in their case for a long time? Verse 6 gives us some insight of Jesus' thoughts. Number 1, Jesus saw him lie. Jesus knew his condition. Amen? And then it also says he knew that he had been a long time in that case. So he saw him, he saw his condition, and then he knew, he was knowledgeable of how long he had been in trouble. I'm glad that our Savior's not lacking knowledge, amen? I'm glad that he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere, but he's not lacking the knowledge of our state and what condition we're in. But he had a question for this man, and this is going to bring into the sermon here. He asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Putting it simply, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made complete? Do you want to be healed of your infirmity? Or wilt thou be made whole? And then verse 8, is skipping verse 7 just for a moment. Jesus said to him, after he asked him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." The whole sermon's found in verse number 7, and so if you want to circle it or highlight it, we're really going to draw out this text completely today of verse number 7. But sandwiched in between verse number 7 is the question and the answer. Right, I mean, I got a lady from McDonald's back there. God bless you, ma'am. We understand you don't live there, right? You just work there, but we're glad that you're here today. All right? Right in between the Big Mac, all right? On each side, you got the question, do you want to be healed? And then you got the answer, get up and rise up and walk. But verse 7 is where this man was at, where all of the great multitude is at, and I'm going to suggest perhaps where some of us are living today with all of our excuses, all of our reasons why we can't get help, all of our dilemmas. I mean, really, we're going to read of some pretty good dilemmas here, pretty good problems that he had, but all of them are sandwiched in between the question, do you want to be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? And also, rise up and walk. Amen? So let's just look at it. Number one, the impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man." The very first thing that he brought out in this answer to Jesus Christ on, did he want to be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? I don't have nobody. I don't have anybody that can help me. I tell you, this is an answer that I find in ministry when I'm trying to minister to this generation and try to minister to people that are in the ghetto and that are in the hood, if you will, or just that are poor, that are lacking hope and have got problems. And I think the answer is true. They really don't have anybody that can help them. Most of the dads in this generation, especially amongst Chicago, are really are either absent, that means they're not there at all, or they are aloof. They're just literally, I'm using your dad's outline right here, Miss Wilkerson, but they're aloof. They're just not a part at all. But they're just, so sometimes the person in the back room that won't even come to the door lets their children come to the door and answer and allows them to get on the bus without really their consent, just allows them to go with you pretty much so they can get out of their hair and get away from them. I mean, I couldn't imagine somebody knocking on my door and wanting to take my child out of state and me just to say, yeah, go on, you know, but thank God they do, amen. Thank God they allow their children to go, and I'm so for that, and I'm so glad that you're stepping into the place. But the answer is true. They really just don't have anybody. Anybody that's really impacting their life. If you study the statistics of graduation of a lot of our inner city children, most of them are going to prison at greater rates than they're graduating high school. Many of the young ladies are with child before they graduate their senior class, and there's really a depravity of that's happening. Many of them end up in prison, and they say that out of the statistics of those that go to prison, most of those young people that end up in jail, they were lacking a father in the home. They really just don't have anybody. No man. We've really, as a ministry, have been answering this question, well, I'll just be that man. I remember walking forward in pastor schools and different altar calls saying, hey, would you come forward and be that man? And I believe we need to answer the call to preach the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher, according to the book of Romans chapter 10? And if we don't respond to the gospel, they're probably not going to hear. But I'd like to also say this is one of the excuses that was sandwiched in between the question and the answer. I don't have anybody. He's sitting there talking to the Savior, the Son of God, that not only came into the world, but the world was created by Him. The answer was right in front of them. Could you imagine asking Jesus Christ for a cup of water when He was everlasting water? Could you imagine standing in front of everlasting life and just asking for a little bit of help? You're sitting there talking to God, and you have no man. Sounds like some of us, doesn't it? I don't have anybody to help me. If only I could just have somebody to give me a hand. It is true, you're always going to need somebody to give you a helping hand. When I look at Paul, if you study the ministry of Paul, as he preached the gospel, he was Saul before that, reaping havoc on the church, persecuting the church. God used Saul, that became Paul, to pen down, I believe, around 13 books of the New Testament. But it says that Barnabas brought him unto the disciples. I believe Barnabas, that was a comforter, that was an encourager. God used Barnabas to help Paul bring confidence to the apostles as he brought him unto them. Everybody needs a little bit of encouragement. Everybody needs a helping hand. Let me say this. God is the one that is going to bless your ministry. God is going to be the one that's going to put you wherever you want to be. But let me say this. God will use instruments and vessels. He'll use people to be a blessing to your ministry, to put a vote of confidence on you. That's what ordination is all about. When you're ordained, it doesn't mean that literally that when they lay hands on you to ordain you to the gospel ministry, really you're probably the same before and after, but at the same time, it's just a vote of confidence saying, hey, we have watched this minister, we have watched this person, and we believe that God's hand is on them. And God is going to use individuals. God's going to use your teachers. God's going to use people in your life. But many of you, maybe like this man and like me, sometimes just saying, you know, I just don't have anybody. If I'd have grown up on that side of town, if I'd have had that family, if I'd have had that kind of structure around me, I think I may be able to, but I just don't have anybody. This man in context was sitting right there at the pool of mercy. He was right there at the house of mercy. He was unable to get himself to the water, and he said, if I just had somebody that could get me to the water, I'd be healed. What's the next part of that text say? You got your Bible open, son? Won't you read that for me? Won't you? You ain't even got your Bible in the right place. Amen. You got it open, but it ain't even in John. Amen. Don't mean to embarrass you. John chapter 5, if y'all didn't know that already. And where are we at? You got your Bible? Let's see. Oh, he's got an NIV. Let me get this KJV right here. Nah, I'm just kidding. Verse 7, I have no man. When the water is troubled, not only did he not have an individual to help him, but he says, when the water's troubled, he said, I don't have anybody, and I can't ever make it at the right time. Man, I could relate with this one, couldn't I, Brother Francis? He's supposed to let me know with some sign languages. If he's rubbing his head, pulling his ears, and shaking his seat, that means I'm done preaching, all right? So y'all can let me know here in just a little bit. He's going to give me the sign language and let me know I'm done. But hey, I don't have anybody, and I don't have anyone at the right time. Just being at the right place at the right time. It's like, hey, by the time I finally get to this pool, the water's done being stirred. If I could just be at the right place at the right time. I could think back in ministry how people come along with me in the ministry, and they used to work in the chapel ministry. We used to have a lot of help in the chapel ministry. Brother Francis took them all right? You're all helping him in the bus ministry, and I thank God for that. We didn't need everybody all in one location under a place. You need to get out and reach out. But we used to have a lot of help. But I could think about some of those people that were with me in the ministry. They're off doing other things now. Some have really blossomed. Not everybody, some have really blossomed, and I'm so happy for them. But if I allowed my mind to think back to that, and I could think, wow, God, I'm also asking for you to do something great in my life. How come you're blessing so-and-so so greatly? I'm talking about by the drove. Some have millions of followers now and their social impact while they're preaching the gospel. Others are millionaires. Others have different opportunities, but they just seem to be at the right place at the right time. Am I talking to anybody today? I know it's Tuesday. I know you're tired, but listen, have you ever felt like you just don't seem to get the best end of the stick? You're not at the right place, not at the right time. Can't get any help. You got a King James Bible? All right, let's look at it. John, he's writing a note to his girlfriend here over on the right side. Verse 7, "Sir, I have no man. When the water's troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming," interesting there. So at the right time, at the right place, obviously the pool. So I don't have the right person. I don't have the right time. I don't have the right place. Man, go talk to some missionaries right now about their geographical location. Can anybody relate with this? Rather, I'd be doing a lot better if I was just in an easier area. I'm in a hard location. Everybody's saved, or nobody wants to hear, or the driveways are too long. I mean, is there ever reason in the world why we can't reach anybody with the gospel? Oh, if I could just have the same music that they're playing over down the road, and they're growing like just by the droves, and we have a handful of people in our Baptist church, if we could just change our music, we'd be doing all right. All these excuses, all of these dilemmas that are seem to be legit. I mean, the dude was broke. He was withered. He was shrunk up. He couldn't walk. I mean, he had some pretty good reasons, didn't he? Who knows? Could he see? But the bottom line is that his excuses are sandwiched in between, "Do you want to be healed?" and "Rise up and walk." For your Bible, man. I like this thing. Look at verse 7 again. "While I am coming." Isn't that interesting? Whew. While I'm coming. Okay, all of the reasons why I can't. Nobody else is going to help me. It's not at the right time, not at the right place. I'll just get there myself. Me and my crippled self. I'm just going to get up and get to this water. I'll grab a hold of my own crutches and I will get myself to the pool while it's stirred up and moving, and I'm going to get healed. But while he, anybody else there? Hey, I'm just going to do this myself. Nobody else going to help me. I'll just make it. You know what? Pride gets in there, doesn't it? Remember, without me, you can do nothing. Please, if you're on that trail today saying, you know what, just forget it. I'm not there at the right time. I'm not at the right place. Nobody's going to help me. I'm just going to do it myself. Trust me, you're about to fall on your face. Don't try to do it yourself. Talk to somebody that's got a big head and it's hard. Amen. I have headbutted that wall so many times. You're not going to do it yourself. You need Jesus. And I need Jesus. Amen. But while I'm trying to get there myself, here comes somebody else that's stepping in front of me. So not only I can't find the right person at the right place, right time, now I'm going to just get there myself, but now somebody else wants to step up in front of me, wants to cut in line. Wait a minute, I've been in line to get to this water. I've been in this situation for 38 years, and now you're going to come and step in front of me? How many of y'all have been at Walmart before and somebody cutting the line from you? Huh? Man, you in a, some of you don't have a car, but if you, those of you that drive a car, you had your blinker on. Uh-huh, you lost your Christianity that day, didn't you? Uh-huh. Man, I remember being at Walmart. I don't think it was called Walmart back in those days. Y'all probably don't know anything called like before it was Target, it was like Richway or something like that, you know. That's old school stuff, you know. But anyhow, we was in line. I was just a little kid, and this woman cut right in front of my mama. My mom was the type of person, I got a little bit of it. I may tell y'all what y'all need to hear today. Some of you men, if you had a little more hair on your legs, you'd get up and shout amen. You quit sitting there like you've been sucking on lemons. You're not like you got some praise in your heart to Jesus. Man, that woman stepped in front of my mom. I was like, Mom, she cut in front of you. She's like, that's all right, son. If I had old fuzzy hair like she did, she said, I'd probably need to cut in line too. And I was like, oh, man. That was one of those moments, if you could lose it, Mom lost it right there, you know. Thank God for eternal salvation, amen. Amen. Us Baptists, we believe once saved, always saved, even after you act like an idiot, amen. Born again, amen. Hallelujah. Man, somebody want to step in front of you after you waited in line? All of this, let me see your Bibles. Let me see here. John 5, verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, he didn't have anybody at the right time, at the right place. And when he decided to get there himself, he said, Another steppeth down right in front of me. Now here's the sermon, and we're done, literally done. As a matter of fact, we can all stand together as I give you the close and get ready. Do they get an invitation right now? Is that allowed? Just stand right now. Listen, this is the invitation. There are so many reasons and there are so many excuses that we can give of why we can't get our help. We can't get God to bless us. We can't get God's power on our life. I see the Holy Ghost seem to be on that person. I mean, didn't God say, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh? Thank God. Thank God for the lady here traveling and trying to help somebody out. God bless. We need a moving of God today that is so strong. That it not only impact our churches, but it impact this world. A moving of God. And we're just going to sit here and say, oh, if we were running what we used to, if we had as many workers as we used to, if we had the same manpower as we used to, we could do something for God. Why don't we just look at the text and Jesus Christ is saying, do you want to be made whole? And if you do, you don't need the water. You don't need the pool. Rise up. Rise up. Let me speak to this generation. Rise up for Jesus Christ. We don't need anything but the power of God. Our money perish with us. Repent for the wickedness of our thoughts. We need Jesus Christ. And we need the moving power of God. Amen. That would help a whole lot. Amen? Amen. That would bring revival. That would bring an amazing change. Some of your routes would double. Lose somebody. Leave the route if you got to. We're not basing our results on individuals. We're looking to Jesus Christ. Amen. To pack out this thing. Let's see what he will do if we'll look to the answer. Amen? God bless you.